Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Have I pronounced that correctly?
uniquely, but that's
all
right.
That's all I got. Tell me, how are you?
I'm excellent, yes, enjoying the warmth of the sun, because I think we're going to lose it by the end of the week.
Possibly, yeah. It's slipping through our fingers as light does, but the warmth too. What do we got going on? It's Easter has crept on up, and
yes, indeed, we're in the week heading up to Easter, which generally Christians call Holy Week.
Okay,
and I thought I'd explore one of the least talked about parts of this, and that is the bit to do with washing feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now you probably never heard of that in connection with any religious body.
I have.
But it's a... You have? Okay.
Of course. Jesus was all about it. He was doing...
Yeah. All right. Very good. So here's an interesting thing. That in the... There are four Gospels in the New Testament telling the story of Jesus. And foot washing is only mentioned in the fourth Gospel, the Gospel by John, which makes no mention of communion. And some have speculated that in some ways foot washing has some of the features of communion about it, for at least John, who wrote in his gospel. And that raises some interesting questions, because Christians are very firmly attached to baptism and eating the bread and drinking the wine, which they call communion. But why is not foot washing given the same status, we might ask? And this has actually been quite a debate at various points in church history.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really intrigued this morning to meet an American colleague. She's a sociologist. And she was suggesting to me that in the church she grew up in, which is in the United States, it's called the Church of the Brethren, which is not the same as we have here.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of the Brethren, who are they, Schwenkfeldians, or they're one of the groups that look back to the Anabaptists, that foot washing is an important ritual, absolutely essential for being a member of the church.
Hmm.
And then, so I've been digging around on websites and found out that in the, 30 articles of belief of the Mennonites, who are another one of those Anabaptist groups, foot washing is belief number 13. But there's a long apologetic statement in the Mennonite account saying, well, this is generally observed by the European Mennonites, but has almost completely been dropped by the Canadian Mennonites and is fading out fast among American Mennonites, which is quite intriguing and does reflect, I think, well, Western disdain for touching other people's feet. And
I was going to say, do you think it's fading out not because... it's any less, you know, like people quite like the idea of, you know, oh, I can drink a little wine and have a little wafer. Do you think that the whole, like, you know, it's not exactly dessert, is it, for that little trio doesn't quite go together in some people's minds? I think, you know, the idea of it being a bit gross, but that's kind of the point of it, is like you're doing it.
And is that, well, it's exactly that. And after all, you know, every custom, you look on every religion, there are some very curious customs that are picked up, and they seem bizarre. I mean, baptism could be argued as quite a weird thing to do. So anyway, but of course there is one big exception, and that is that the Pope always, on Maundy Thursday, which is the Thursday before Good Friday, at the end of this week, the Pope always washes a group of poor people's feet.
Uh-huh.
And in 2016, Pope, our present Pope, who was renowned, of course, Pope Francis, for changing customs in order to improve and bring things up to date, announced that he was prepared to wash women's feet. Up to that century, it had always been men's feet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So here's an interesting thing, that the custom was kept up at the top level of the church, and some Catholic congregations follow the Pope and observe this as well, and some Anglican congregations do it. And indeed, until 1753, apparently, the King of England, as the head of the Anglican Church, used to wash feet. But after that, it was thought not quite becoming of a king to be washing somebody's feet. But he still gives them a little bag of money, which is an interesting, not a great equivalent.
Go buy yourself a foot wash.
Precisely. So what I think is kind of fascinating about all of this is the way in which Western sensibilities make some things acceptable and some things not acceptable. And maybe we just don't want too much ritual around us. It could be. But I think there may be something more to it than that. And I'm sure there's greater and greater consciousness of, you know, delicacies of disease and foot disease, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, there's the kind of, you know, especially in the last few years, people are kind of like, you know, we don't touch nobody. But I do think ultimately it's kind of people being a bit icked out by, you know, the irony is, I suspect, anyway, I can't read people's minds, but I suspect that the purpose of it is to demonstrate a humility for a leadership person.
Precisely.
And I think that the very reason that they don't do it anymore is because they don't have any.
Yes. Now, of course, if it's only done once a year, the Pope can just swallow his caution and do it and then have a good cleanse after that. And so that has been the habit in most sort of mainstream churches, that if you're going to do it, you do it once a year, absolutely. But the Mennonites do it, I believe, after every communion service. Mind you, they don't have communion services every week. The Church of the Brethren, I'm not sure. I think they also do it after communion, though I saw one description which said that for Mennonites, firstly, they have to confess their sin. Secondly, they have to have their feet washed, and then they can share communion. Now, the Adventists, Seventh-day Adventists, also have foot washing as part of their monthly communion service. And they have it after communion, not before communion. And so it's saying, well, I presume that the symbolism is that, and now I must be in fellowship with you. I now need to walk with you and accept you are my brother or sister. I think that's what it means. So they do thoroughly. Everybody's feet gets washed in the Adventists, I believe.
But just very quickly, a couple of people texted in sort of about the actual purpose, like where it came from, and you're saying obviously the one gospel, but can you just a quick educator on what the context is?
Yeah, so the context is actually in the last meal Jesus has with his friends, when according to the other gospels, the communion is introduced, but according to John, no mention of communion, but just this foot washing. And then a very, very long talk that Jesus gives his disciples. So that's why some have speculated it's sort of roughly an equivalent of communion. Some would say it's kind of, well, I think it's interpreted in the Mennonites, basically, that after you've been baptized, for the forgiveness of your sins, to show that you're back in fellowship with your brothers and sisters, you need your feet washed. Right. So it becomes part of the process of communion, and so it's a restoration of fellowship. So that's, you know, as I say, I think it's quite intriguing. I've been in a few ceremonies with foot washing. What I notice immediately is very few people want their feet washed. That's the first thing.
Hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
Yeah, and secondly, difference between washing somebody else's feet and having your feet being washed. And I noticed that some people were more prepared to wash feet than have their feet washed, and some the other way around.
Yeah.
And that's quite interesting because there is a kind of different symbolism. The person washing feet is in a very humble position, really, accepting the filth of other people's feet. And, of course, given that in Palestine they wore sandals, it really must have been dirty, I guess.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's just quite intriguing that we pick up some symbolism and we avoid other symbolism because it just doesn't suit us. It's not nice.
But do you think there's a part of that's kind of stretches to a whole lot of religion, surely? Well, Christianity anyway, the rules that unanimously decide. It would be so interesting to do kind of like a real big summary of all the rules in the Bible and when they dropped off, things like, you know, about cutting your hair and, you know, all that, all the different various things that people might look back and go, oh, what?
That is true. And it is also interesting comparing different religions with often using the same symbols in slightly different ways.
Mm.
And you see, any Maori person looking on with this would recognise that there's issues of contamination and the sacred, you know, because you have to be so careful, as you know, with Noah and Tapu, that you can't dare breach the rules of touching the Tapu because you thereby defile it.
Yeah.
And so you have to firstly release its tapu before you can make contact with the head, for example.
Mm.
And so, I mean, I think a lot of religion, quite a deep part of religion, is that the outward symbol is about contamination or purification. You know, which are you doing?
Mm.
And somehow that's a kind of deep thing in religion, that we fear contamination. We fear it with others in some way.
Mm.
And religion is in part rituals for freeing us to be in association with others.
Yeah. Well, will you be doing it this weekend?
I think I've got a more exciting service to go to. I could go to one on Thursday night, but there's another one that I'm singing in the choir for, and it's not doing foot washing. So there you are.
Oh, well.
I'll miss out.
You missed out. Never mind. Yeah. There's always next year. I better get going because we've got news and a few things to do. But listen, thank you for that. And
have a great Easter.
You too. And, you know, people can make up their own minds to wash, to be washed, or none of the above.
Yep, very good.
Thank you so much. Okay. Always interesting. Thank you very much, Peter Lynham. Up after the break.